grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The center of our gospel lesson for today is verse 6, where Jesus says, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." The word offended in the original Greek, because I know you love to hear Greek words, the original Greek is the word scandalize. Scandalize, where we get the word scandal from. And a scandal in the Old Testament and New Testament times, a scandal was the name of the trigger on a trap. So, you know, like when you have a mouse trap and you bend the thing over and you put the little hook on and you clip it underneath that thing and you with the peanut butter on it, that thing with the peanut butter is the scandal. It's the trigger on the trap. All right. So when the mousey comes along and thinks he's going to get a belly full of peanut butter, he gets what he never dreamed he'd get, which is dead. All right? So now, Jesus says, "Blessed is he who is not triggered by me or triggered in me." What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that we often experience in our life a disconnect between our expectation and our experience. We have expectations, and I'm not just talking about religious things, I'm talking about everything in life. We have expectations, and when those expectations are not met by our experience, we are disappointed and offended by the fact that we didn't get what we expected. Now, this translates into the religious sphere. When people think they know the will of God and they develop expectations of a certain sort, and then God begins to go to work in their lives, but God does what they do not expect. And so they see the work of God, but it's not what they were expecting. And very often they become disappointed or offended by this. The disciples of John the Baptist, first of all, they were loyal to John. He was in a dungeon in Herod's palace, and they weren't about to say, "See ya," and go and become disciples of Jesus. So they still, out of a sense of loyalty, attached themselves to John and were reluctant to follow Jesus. And add to that, when you listen to John's preaching, yes, he said that Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But he also said things like, "The axe is laid to the root of the tree, and he's ready to strike judgment and cut down those who are the enemies of God." He also says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor." So John emphasized very often in his preaching the coming judgment of God when the Messiah is revealed. So then Jesus is revealed. The Holy Ghost rests upon him in his baptism, and the voice from heaven publicly declares him his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased, with whom the Father is well pleased. And yet, as Jesus begins to fulfill his public ministry, it doesn't look like he's about to judge the quick and the dead. It doesn't look like he's about to knock heads and take names. And the disciples of John the Baptist are like, wait a minute. You know, Jesus certainly is an impressive person. And Jesus certainly is doing many messianic things. But where is the wrath of God upon the wicked? You see, what they were thinking about is, when God comes, he's got to vindicate my obedience, and he's got to live up to my expectations. And the thing that I want more than anything is for these Romans to be slaughtered. All right? So the disciples of John the Baptist, they are reluctant to follow Jesus because he doesn't look like what they are hoping for. And they are disappointed and they are ready to take offense. So John, as a very wise leader, he sends his two most prominent disciples to Jesus to ask the question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Very often the mark of leadership, good solid leadership, is to send someone to the horse's mouth, to get them to hear what they need to hear right from the source. And so John sends these disciples to Jesus to ask him the question that is burning in their minds so that he may deal with them. And Jesus answers their question with two related emphases. And this is important for us because Jesus, the theme of our text today is this: Jesus is the one that should come, and we are blessed by faith in him. We are blessed in him through faith. All right? So they come and they put the question to Jesus, and Jesus answers the question in two ways. The first thing that Jesus points to are the miracles that he is doing. He says to them, go and show John again the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Now Jesus is pointing to his many miracles. All of the miracles of Jesus point our faith to his person, to his works, and to his words. A miracle is a sign which God grants, and by doing a miracle, he is saying, pay attention to this person. Pay attention to what this person does. And pay attention to what this person says. Miracles are signs. You see, that's one of the things that people misunderstand about miracles. They think that miracles are chiefly acts of mercy upon those who receive them. Now, they are that. They are that. But that's not their chief purpose. Their their chief purpose is to point to and substantiate and show that the person doing the miracles is God's person whom we are to pay attention to, watch, and believe. All right? That's what the miracles are. And so, in the Bible, even in times like at the ministry of Jesus, where there were lots and lots of miracles, miracles do not continue over the long haul. Because once they have fulfilled their purpose, they are often withdrawn. So in the Old Testament, you see certain periods of time where a person who is chosen by God to lead the people Israel is attended by miraculous activity. And then, after that person, the miracles subside, and there are no miracles for a long time. And then when God raises up another great leader, that person's mission is attended by miracles. And so it is. It's the doctrine of the economy of miracles. The purpose of miracles is not ultimately to answer the prayers of the faithful. The purpose of miracles is as a sign pointing to Jesus. So Jesus says to the disciples of John, and he's saying to us, understand that these miracles are signs pointing to me. Therefore, watch what I do, listen to what I say, and pay attention to me, my person. Because the miracles show that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the one. He is the proper object of your faith in him. All right? So, the first thing that we are given to understand is that miracles, they are to show who the Messiah is. And one of the strongest testimonies to the veracity of the Christian faith are the miracles that are recorded in the Bible. Now, the great miracle of all, notice that Jesus' birth and his death are attended by the greatest of miracles. First of all, he is conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. That is an astonishing and unprecedented miracle. So his life begins with an abjectly fantastic miracle. And then, throughout his whole public ministry, one miracle after another, all pointing to him as the Son of God and the Christ. And then after he is crucified, dead, and buried, so that the disciples are tempted to believe that I guess we were wrong about him. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he showed himself alive by what St. Luke calls many infallible proofs. And so the miracles of God, including the virginal conception and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, these are the tools that the Holy Ghost wishes to use to confirm and strengthen your faith that Jesus is he that should come and that he comes to be gracious and bless you. The second thing that Jesus points to, and it is equally important, is that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. First of all, he refers, when he says the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, etc., he's referring to Isaiah chapter 35. In Isaiah chapter 35, it says this: "Be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." You see, Jesus is referring to Isaiah chapter 35, and he's saying to us, the days of the Messiah were to be attended by the very miracles you see me doing. And so these miracles that I've been talking about, they are the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Lord in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfills prophecy. Then he says to the crowd, as the disciples of John are on their way back to see John, he says, what did you guys go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, somebody who makes noise whichever way the wind is blowing? Yeah, you go out to see a guy like that, and you can imagine the crowd laughing, you know, that John would be that, you know. And he says, well, what'd you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? You see a dandy? Did you go out into the wilderness to see a dandy? And everybody's laughing because John was, you know, camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Boy, you gotta be a man to eat locusts and wild honey. All right. So anyway, the crowd, Jesus is playing to the crowd, and the crowd is eating it up. You know, he says, those who are in soft clothing are in king's house. He said, what did you go out to see? A prophet? And they all perk up their ears. And he says, I tell you, yes, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He's saying, John's coming and ministry is the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And the fact that John is the divinely chosen forerunner should give you a clue as to who I am. John constantly talked about the one who comes after me is mightier than me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. All right? And so here, Jesus points to the second fulfillment of prophecy. John is the divinely announced forerunner who prepares the way of the Lord, and therefore I am the Lord whom he was pointing to. So this is the second way in which Jesus points to the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There's one more thing. It goes beyond our reading for today, but a few more verses ahead, he's again talking about John the Baptist and his ministry. And he says, if you are willing to receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus says, you know that prophecy of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, where he talks about Elijah the prophet will come and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, etc., etc. Jesus here says the coming of John the Baptist is what is meant by the coming of Elijah. So, in three very strong instances in our gospel for today, we are shown that the ministry of Jesus and everything around it is prophesied in Scripture. Now, if you study and examine the messianic prophecies, you will soon learn that almost every detail in the life, work, and ministry of Jesus is announced and prophesied beforehand, so that when Jesus comes, His whole life is a continuous fulfillment of all manner of different prophecies, including His substitutionary atonement on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. So, what the Holy Ghost is saying to us here, not only the miracles of Jesus point to Him as the coming One who blesses you forever, but the fact that He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament, that the entire Old Testament receives its climax and its fulfillment in His person and work, is a strong testimony to the Christian faith and its veracity. The church has always known this, that the miracles, including His resurrection and the fulfillment of prophecy, are the strongest arguments in favor of the identity and work of Jesus. And so He says, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." You know, sometimes we have expectations that are out of kilter with what God has planned for us. And sometimes when we see this disconnect between expectation and experience, we're tempted to be disappointed or we're tempted to be offended. But He says this, pay attention to the miracles. Pay attention to the fulfillment of prophecy, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Yes, I am he that should come, and I come to bless you. Believe in me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.